Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Morning, church. So good to be together today. And as we get started today, you know, I just wanted to share with us a bit of my PTSD and trauma in life. And that is, you know, for context, that I grew up in an all-boys boarding school. And with that, it means that there are some things that happen at the school that people will come out years later. You know, you meet a guy at reunions and you'll see guys at therapy sessions. And then they'll just be like, it's twitching, you know, this trauma that exists. For some guys, it's because they see that whenever they see a rolled up cloth, they know that every time they see it, they just assume that they'll just get flicked with it on their thigh and they'll have like a bruise for weeks and for months. You know, so every time they see a rolled up cloth, they just like twitch. Some guys would see just a wooden plank, you know, they're going to build with it, you know, a wooden plank or a cricket bat. They're just going to play cricket with it. But when they see it, they think to themselves, no, I can't turn around because I could get whacked with it from behind. You know, it's just like a PTSD and a trauma. For me, whenever I see an elastic band, I just get like traumatized, you know, specifically if I see it stretched out, because I can see a few faces already, like, hey, where is this going? And specifically because in the dorm rooms, in the class, in the dining rooms, anyway, the elastic band was used to inflict great pain. And it was used, especially when stretched out, to inflict great pain. And to this day, whenever I see an elastic band stretched out, I just like duck under tables. I've got PTSD. I just have trauma. I twitch because of the effect. So a stretched out elastic band always just gives me trauma. But now with that, it's only when it's stretched out. When it's like this, when it's dormant, it's not. Means nothing. It's like, oh, cool. It's just an elastic band. Can be used for anything. But when it's stretched out, that's when it becomes lethal. And did you know that when it comes to our faith, we are exactly the same. As Christ followers, when we are not stretched, we're just dormant. You know, we're just not really threatening. But when our faith is stretched, when we are stretched, we begin to see that there is so much potential that we are able to do and so much potential of what we're able to achieve for the kingdom of God. So when we are stretched out as Christ followers, we see that we are able to live in our full potential. When our faith is stretched out, we see that we are able to rely on the Holy Spirit's capacity and not our own. When our faith is stretched out as Christ followers, we're able to see that we are able to make a difference to the world around us so much more than when we are just unstretched. So as we go into our new sermon series today, what would be such a desire and a passion is for us to be able to discover how it is that we can live with our faith stretched out, because there is power in our faith. When our lives are stretched out, it gives more meaning and more purpose to our lives in every season, in every moment of our lives. Even if we're going through deep struggles, we'll know that when our faith is stretched, that struggle has an eternal significance to it, because we're living out with a stretched out faith. So as we get started today, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that we're able to come to you right now and receive a faith that isn't a stable, that just isn't a dormant, but a faith that is able to expand, extend, and reach far beyond what we are able to do. So we thank you, Lord, that as we start this new sermon series, you are able to speak to us and speak through us. And we pray, Lord, that as we hear your word today, God, may we be people who, despite how our weeks have gone, despite how busy, how overwhelming, how struggling it may have been, despite how our weeks may have been full of life and full of energy, despite how we come into this moment today, we pray, God, that your word will land on our hearts and do an extraordinary work. And we thank you and we pray for this in your mighty and powerful name. Amen. 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 Well, somebody in scripture that we see had a great faith stretch, and we see how his life had a great impact, is a guy by the name of Elisha. And we see his story in 2 Kings chapter 4. And for some context, 2 Kings chapter 4 starts with Elisha having a great friendship and a great connection with the Shunammite woman who was just ridiculously generous to him. And eventually he gets to a point where he's like, no man, you've been so good to me. Now, how is it that I can bless you? What would you like for me to you? And the Shunammite woman looked at Elisha, thought about it for a moment and thought, nothing really. You know, I'm more than blessed. I'm all good. Then Elisha thought, wouldn't you like a child though? Wouldn't you like to be a mom? And at that moment, her shoulders dropped, her demeanor changed, and she just looked at him and said, you know what? I know you're a man of God, but you're playing a very dangerous game right now. That's a sore spot, and I don't think you should bring that up. To which Elisha responded, challenge accepted. This time next year, you'll greet me at the gate with your son. And then, as true as anything, that's exactly what happened. Fast forward a few years, that same boy grew up, helped his father in the fields, then all of a sudden had a severe migraine. Quickly rushes back home, sits on his mom's lap, and unfortunately just passes away on her lap. The mom takes her son, has a faith response, puts him on his bed, and then quickly rushes out and hunts Elisha down. She finds Elisha, then she looks at him, boom, bashing down the door and says, you, what did I tell you all those years ago about this dangerous prayer of yours? This was a dangerous game, and now look where we are at. And this is where we pick up the story from 2 Kings 4, verses 28 to 35, where it says this. Then she said, did I ask my Lord for a son? Did I not say, do not deceive me? He, Elisha, said to Gehazi, his servant, tie up your garment and take my staff in your hand and go. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not reply. And lay my staff on the face of the child. Then the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Now, Elisha realized right there and then that he's dealing with the most deadliest being in the world, a desperate mom. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was no sign of life or sound. Therefore, he returned to Elisha and told him, the child has not awakened. When Elisha came into the house, he saw the child lying dead on his bed. So he went in and shut the door behind the two of them and prayed for the Lord. Then he went up and laid on the child, putting his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands. And as he stretched himself upon him, the flesh of the child became warm. Then he got up again and walked once back and forth in the house and went up and stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. One of the great miracles of the Bible, Elisha resurrecting the Shunammite woman's son. But notice the key moment of that encounter in verse 34, that as he stretched himself upon him, then the boy began to have life. As he stretched himself, in other words, the prayers had been prayed, the strategy had been made, all the necessary conversations were done. It was down to the physical, uncomfortable act of stretching that led to the boy having life. Which leads us to believe that there's an incredible principle behind us when it comes to our faith. And this incredible principle is that there is life in the stretch. There's life in the stretch. Whenever we stretch our faith, whenever we decide that our faith isn't going to remain dormant, but instead is going to be stretched, there is life for somebody else on the other side of that stretch. And on that note, won't you please join me in standing as we stretch ourselves. So some of you are like, where's this going? What am I stretching for? Don't worry, we'll keep it light. So you can just follow after me. So we are told by clever scientists that there are a gazillion reasons and benefits for stretching. You know, one of them is that when you stretch, you become more flexible. In other words, later on today, you'll be less stiff, which you are welcome for. You're welcome. We're told that when we stretch, that we become less likely to get injured. Now, I remember going to a youth camp a little while ago and playing soccer with a few of the guys and absolutely dominating them. First service doubted it. I absolutely dominated them until something just pulled up. And I had to casually walk off, not showing my age. You know? I did not stretch. And then we're told as well that when we stretch, yes, girlfriend, that when we stretch mentally, we become less stressful, which with all of our yoga fans over here are like, yeah, laugh at us now. You know. And then we're told that when we stretch, we actually have better sleep. In other words, like our bodies are thinking to ourselves, oh, I'm so relaxed. Thank you so much. I love you. You know, that's what happens every time we stretch. Stretching is good for our health. And as good as it is for our health, it is just as good for our faith. Stretching is good for our faith. You can take your seat. Well done. Well done. You can give yourself a hand. Someone's like, that's exercise for me. Done. All week. Stretching is good for our faith. And that's what we see in Elisha's life and in his story. You know, he got to a point where he decided that he was going to not just be, just remain far away from wherever the faith stretch needed to be, but he got right up to the boy and decided to stretch over him. And because he stretched, life came about. Life always takes place whenever there's a stretch. Whenever we stretch our faith, there is always life on the other side of that. When we stretch our faith and have a faith conversation with somebody far from Christ, that person will receive life. When we stretch our faith and be generous to a person in need or to tithe, even on the tough months, there is somebody who will receive life on the other side of our generosity. When we decide to stretch our faith and join a life group or join a serving team, we'll see that there's somebody, there's life for somebody else on the other side of us being available and open to be known and loved. And we find that whenever we stretch our faith and decide to memorize scripture, we see that there will be life in our families and our households because they'll be the first recipients of our new and fresh outlook of life. There is faith and there is always life whenever we decide to stretch our faith. My stretching, your stretching, it always leads to life. That's what stretching does. And that's what we see from this passage and from the scripture. And a bit of a disclaimer here, to expect that whenever we stretch, that there's going to be like a miraculous, miracle, extraordinary resurrection experience like we saw just now every single time, that's a bit unrealistic. But what we do see is that whenever we live our lives with just a few little stretches along the way, we see that it sets us up so beautifully when those big, miraculous, extraordinary faith miracles do come because we are well positioned, we're well flexible for those moments. You know, we see this in Elisha's life. He didn't live every day expecting to resurrect dead boys. He didn't even live this moment expecting that. But he had a lot of little faith stretches along the way. And whenever we have a lot of little faith stretches and whenever we have big stretches occasionally, we see that whether it's small or big, it will always lead to life. So with that said, there are three faith stretches we see in Elisha's life that we are able to apply in our lives as well and begin to live our lives moving forward, having faith forward type faith because we are living with stretches that can give other people life. The first stretch we see is that to listen to the need. Listen to the need. That's what Elisha did. You know, in verse 30, we're told that he was more than willing to ask his servant to go ahead and to do the work of praying for the child himself until he looked at the aching mother's need and realized, no, I have to go myself. Whenever we're listening out for needs, we begin to see what our next step should be. Listening out for needs are a good indicator of what our next faith step should be. I'm realizing more and more that every time my life is comfortable or easygoing, chances are there's a need that I'm not listening to. Chances are there's somebody who needs something that I just haven't put myself close to them to be able to hear it. And whenever that happens, I realize I actually should get closer to people, to those around me. Not to be a problem solver, but just simply to be a listener. You know, we're told this amazing thing by Kate Murphy. She said, hearing is passive. Listening is active. The best listeners focus their attention and recruit other senses to the effort. In other words, hearing is easy. Hearing you can do while on your phone, while watching the TV. What? Now, hearing is easy. Listening requires so much more. Listening requires putting the phone down. Listening requires turning the TV off. Listening requires watching what the hands are doing. Where are the eyes darting off to? It requires looking at the shoulders. Why are they dropping? Why are they tensing up? You know, listening requires what's happening with the voice? You know, what? Listening to the tone. Listening requires all of our senses. And when we apply all of our senses to listening to what somebody is saying, that's when we discover their need. And then that's where we discover what our next step should be. And whenever we do that, we begin to see that maybe that next step is a stretch for our budget, a stretch for our convenience, a stretch for our time. Maybe it just proves that. But what we realize is that regardless of what that stretch is, what that next step is, it will always, always, always give life to that person on the other side of that need. And geez, doesn't that make it worth it? So can I encourage us, as an application, let's get listening to people's needs. Let's get them talking. Let's get listening to their needs. And then what we'll see is that as we're listening to people's needs, we know what our next steps should be in our faith. We know how it is that we can extend our faith, how it is that we can encourage others, what it is that we should be doing next. And as we listen out for needs, and as we listen out for where we're required or where we need it to be, we begin to see that we have an impact in every area of our lives. You know, it starts at home, then extends to school or work. And the conversations that we have casually on a Saturday morning or whatever busy agenda that we have on a Tuesday afternoon, everything we do, we're always listening out for needs, and we always know how it is that we can stretch our faith for the benefit of other people. So that's the first faith stretch we see in Elisha's life. Listen to the need. Second we see is to step out of convenience. Step out of convenience. You know, we see this again in this what takes place in Elisha's life. You know, we're told that the Shunammite woman came to him to tell him that the child had been sick and that, in fact, the child had died. So picture this with me right now. There Elisha was, not expecting this at all. Not expecting this encounter at all. So there he was, just about to close up for the day in the office with his servant Gehazi. You know, they're just like deciding, okay, cool, let's lock up, let's what are we going to watch a bit later? Or are we going to have an early evening? You know, are we going to binge watch something again? Or like, oh, what's happening here? You know, they're just there casually chilling until he spots from a distance. Like, yay, that's the Shunammite woman over there. And he says to Gehazi, she normally looks kind. She looks wuss right now. Go intercept her. Go get her. Go do something. And to which Gehazi must have been like, oh, what must I say? What must I do? Ah, she looks scary. What must I say? You know? And then before they realize it, bam, she bashes in through the door. You played a very dangerous game. And I'm like, ah. But Elisha thought to himself, no, I can still salvage this situation. We can still have our comfortable and convenient evening here. Or at least for me, because what he says is, Gehazi, why didn't you go with the Shunammite woman? Why didn't you take my staff? Hey, the blessing's still there. Why didn't you take my staff and you go and you pray those words over the child? To which the woman looked at him and said, I know what you're doing. And Elisha decided, okay, cool, it's fine. I'll go as well. And you know what? I'm on Elisha's side here because I can fully relate with him because he has such a busy schedule that it's so easy for him to be able to think to himself, oh, I just want my comfortable evening. I just want my comfortable life. I just want to do things my way so that my life can stay comfortable. And isn't that the same threat that's over us as busy 21st century hardworking people? We work hard enough. We have so much on the go that it's so justifiable for us to think to ourselves, I just want to keep my life convenient and working my way because of everything I have on the go. And keeping our lives convenient looks different for so many of us. But for me, what it looks like is safeguarding my free time so much that I just have no capacity or just allow no time for somebody else to be able to breach me with their need. It looks like me being so strict with what I do with my finances that I have no room or space to be generous to those around me. It looks like me just being so busy with what I'm doing during the week in front of my desk in the office that I don't look up to see the need of the person around me. That's how I can keep my life convenient. And the thing is that it's so easy for me to justify. So easy for me to get away with it. But because I can, it doesn't mean that my faith is stretching. And when the faith isn't stretching, there isn't life for somebody else on the other side of it. What are some of the ways that you keep your life convenient and able to justify it easily? Can I encourage us to be like Elisha and let's step out of the convenient mindset. Let's step out of it so that we're able to give life to somebody else, so that our faith can be stretched and life can be received by the people around us. And hey, what I'm not talking about us living lives where we like overextend and don't rest and don't unwind, because at the end of the day, what that will lead to is a snap. And we're not talking about that, because that isn't life-giving and it's actually destructive. But what I am saying is that let's not make so many excuses that we live our lives unstretched, because that's equally destructive. You know, Tom Hanks was once interviewed and was asked, you know, now that you're a big shot, top movie star, I'm sure it's so easy for you now to live your life and to step into movie sets in such a way that it's comfortable for you, you know? Like kind of have a few read through the lines and then just like you just take it from there. To which he replied and said, heavens no, it's harder for me now. Because every director says to me, Tom, if you don't bring your A game, this movie is a dud. Everyone else can bring mediocre subpar performances, but you can't. We need you to be at your A game if this movie is going to succeed. And so because of that, he always shows up with his best, always shows up bringing his A game, always shows up doing his absolute best for the sake of the movie. And that's why he produces hit after hit, because he's stretching himself, because he's not keeping things convenient, because he's always thinking out the box. And as Christ followers, we should have the same vision when it comes to our faith, not giving ourselves reasons and excuses to step into environments and just coast away and keep things light and easy and convenient, but instead look for ways where we can just be inconveniencing ourselves so that our faith can be stretched and so that we can bring our A game into people's lives and people's needs, because that's what the people around us would benefit from. And an application for us when it comes to this is to simply decide and to maybe even ask ourselves bluntly, what's an inconvenient act that I can do over the next few weeks that can help stretch my faith? Now, it could be joining a serving team, joining a life group. It could be starting to fast, maybe starting the 10-month challenge. It could be starting to worship a little bit more expressively. Could be having a faith conversation with a colleague, maybe helping somebody who's in need around you. Could even be offering an apology. Regardless of what it is, start something. Start something that's a little bit inconveniencing so that our faith can stretch and so that we can break free from any mindset or any hold that has on our lives that is convenient and that wants to keep life comfortable. Because life doesn't grow uncomfortable. People aren't helped uncomfortable, but they're helped when we stretch our faith and we decide that our faith is going to give life to other people. So that's the second stretch, is to step out of convenience. And then the third stretch is to have a faith dream. Have a faith dream. Elisha had a faith dream. The boy must live. That's a faith dream. You know, despite everything said and everything's done, at the end of the day, what I'm going to do from my office to that boy's bed has to result with the boy living. And because of that, he didn't stop. He kept persisting despite any obstacle that came his way. He kept listening to needs because he knew what the ultimate faith dream was. He kept seeking out what God is able to do in different ways that God's able to speak to him. He kept stepping out of convenience because he knew at the end of the day, the faith dream is the boy must live. And because he had a faith dream, life just shot up. Because he had a faith dream, he was able to give life to the boy, to the mom, to the father, to that entire household because he had a faith dream. That's what faith dreams do. They give life. Can I encourage us to have a faith dream? Have something that's bigger than ourselves that we're aiming towards and that's guiding us because we know that we can't just remain here, can't just remain seated here, but we're knowing that our lives have to stretch, our faith has to stretch. And what's it stretching to? Whatever that ultimate faith goal is. Because at the end of the day, a faith goal is us knowing that the ultimate result is that we know a God who's able to do the impossible. And if we know a God is able to do the impossible, then whatever it is that I'm gunning for, whatever it is that is impossible, I'm just going to keep persisting. I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep listening out for needs. I'm just going to keep stepping out of convenient moments because I know that at the end of the day, I know a God who can do the impossible and I'll eventually get there. You know, we as a church, we have a great faith dream. Helping people move towards Jesus. That's a big faith dream. That's an audacious faith dream. That's a faith dream big enough to make sure that every time we step in on a Sunday, we're going to be passionate. We're going to be future-minded. You know, we're going to be authentic in all that we do because we know that when all is said and done, people must move towards Jesus. I must move towards Jesus. Everyone in my row, everyone around me must move towards Jesus. So I won't be stepping in with whatever my week holds, but instead I'm going to step in knowing what my faith dream is. And as a church, that is our faith dream. Just having a congregation full of people who know that we are helping people move towards Jesus and we're going there together. That's what a faith dream is. And to have a faith dream for ourselves and to have personally and to have a faith dream collectively, it makes all the difference, not only to our lives, but also to the lives of those who are going to be impacted by it. Elisha's faith dream impacted the boy, the mom, the dad, that entire household. Our faith dream will also have and leave a paper trail that's just as effective. So as an application, can I encourage us to start asking God for a faith dream? Hold a fast, a mini fast even. Just doesn't have to be long. Just a couple of days, 3 days, where we just ask God thoughtfully and prayerfully, help me to have a fast, to help me to have a faith dream in the areas of my life that matter most. So for your family, for your school, for your career, for anything that you have on the go that really matters for you, what's your faith dream for that? Ask God for it. Faith dream could be anything, could range from anything, could be as simple as helping and serving the poor, buying a hope bag for a family so that a whole family can be fed. That's a faith dream. Faith dream could be starting a gratitude jar because you want to physically see all the things that you're grateful for. Because as you physically see all the things you're grateful for, your mindset just begins to change and becomes more joyful and hopeful. And isn't that worth having faith for? A different mindset. Having a faith dream could be to finally break free from that addiction. Whatever it is, to finally break free from it. Like, this is it. This is the moment. This is the day where I'm deciding I'm not going to do it on my own, but I'm going to do it with Christ's help. And if I'm doing it with Christ's help, it means that I'm going to break free from any other limitations that have told me that I can't break free from this. But in fact, I'm going to trust on God and I'm going to take him at his word that I'm able to break free from this addiction. That's a faith dream. A faith dream is deciding to memorize large portions of scripture because you want your mind to be filled with the heart of Christ and not just the unhealthy things you may be watching or listening to. Having a faith dream looks like praying for somebody and praying for them for their healing and actually believing that it'll happen. Knowing that maybe previously you'll pray for them and like cross fingers, because like, their eyes are closed, so they can't see you. Like, please Lord, heal them, please, please, please. But now you can actually boldly say to yourself, you know what, if Jesus healed and I'm with Christ, I can heal you too. And be able to trust for that healing for that other person. Get a faith dream. That's what a faith dream is all about. What's yours? Ask God for it. ask God through prayer and fasting, thoughtfully ask him so that we can stretch our faith and so that our faith can have a great impact and give life to those around us. Somebody who had an amazing faith dream is a guy by the name of John Smith. I promise you that's his real name. I looked it up. I thought also that John Smith, who's really named it? It's a true story. A guy by the name of John Smith. John Smith was a janitor at a school in America in a small town. And he considered himself as the type of person who wasn't just going to clean floors every day. But he said, every time I step in, I'm going to live out the gospel and I'm going to pray for those around me. That was his faith dream. And how he lived it out is that he would step into the school earlier than everyone else, and he would pray for the hallways, for the classrooms, before anyone even stepped into them. He even had moments where he would speak to the staff members and to the kids, offering them advice, sharing his faith story. He'd even go and seek out the kids who are lonely and who feel invisible and sit right next to them and be able to speak to them and able to be a friend for them. One student in particular was a guy by the name of Mark, who was just about to drop out because of how bad things were at home and because he just felt like no one cared for him. He was sitting one day in a gym alone, and John saw him there and decided to come right next to him. And instead of just ignoring him, instead of doing the convenient thing and keep working, he sat right next to him. Mark shared his story and John shared his faith, told him who he was in Christ and spoke purpose and told him how much God loved him and God thought about him. And because of that, Mark began to be inspired, and he returned back to the school years later, not as a dejected student, but this time as a youth pastor. And he gave credit to John for that one simple conversation of how his life turned. You know, John never had a pulpit where he preached from. He never wrote a book, but what he did is he had a faith dream. A faith dream that was determined that I'll encourage those around me. I'll speak life to those around me. I'll pray for those around me. I'll pray for my environment. I'll look at my immediate world and I'll think, how is it that I can bless my immediate world so that I can step out and bless the whole world? That's what John thought. That's how he saw his faith. He had a faith dream, and it made all the difference to those around him. That's what faith dreams do. Let's be inspired enough, be thoughtful enough, prayerful enough to God to receive a faith dream from him. Amen? Amen. Well, as we wrap up today, what we begin to see is that the ultimate stretch, the person who exemplified this more than anyone else, is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, when stretching on the cross, gave the ultimate stretch. The ultimate stretch, where he listened out for the need of humanity, where he stepped out of the convenience of his divine privileges, where he was the one who had a faith dream that was big enough to have us sitting here and receiving the freedom that he has in store for us. And we're told this in Philippians 2, verse 5 to 11, that you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he didn't think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus gave us the ultimate faith stretch. He listened to the ache of humanity that was broken, the need of humanity that needed a savior. He stepped out of his divine privileges, where it could have been so easy to say, I'm God, you're not. But instead, he stepped down to see where we're at and look at our brokenness face to face. He stepped out of that and had a faith dream that every knee shall bow at his name, because it is right there at the foot of the cross where we receive our ultimate freedom, the freedom we get to live in today. And that's who we get to follow. That's the example set before us. So can I encourage us? Let us live and let us stretch out our faith, because there is life in the stretch. There is life on the other side of the stretch when we stretch ourselves the way Jesus did. People, other people, the people we love so much, they will receive life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege and the opportunity to be able to receive freedom from you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you showed us the perfect example of what stretching looks like. And we pray, God, that as we stretch ourselves, may our faith be able to give life to others. May our faith be the type of faith that's able to extend far beyond what we ever could have thought. Far beyond, just because we've decided right now that we're going to start listening to needs. We're going to start having and stepping out of convenience, where we decided that we are going to be people who have faith dreams. And we pray, God, that as you speak to us and continue to speak to us, help us to live this out, both now and always. And hey, maybe you're here today, and this may be the first time you've been made aware of who Jesus is to you. And with all of our eyes closed and heads bowed, can I encourage you to allow this to be a moment where you make the best decision of your life, a decision to invite Jesus to be your Lord, Savior, and friend. So what I'm going to do right now is I want to simply count down from three. And when I do so, again, everyone else has got their eyes closed. You can slip up your hand, and so that I know that that's who I'm praying for right now. And when you do so, you'll be able to make, and I'll be able to help you with the language to live out the best decision that you could possibly live out, and to invite Jesus into your life. So if that's you, at the count of the countdown from three, you can simply slip up your hand. So here we go. 3, 2, 1. If you want to receive Jesus, invite him into your life. Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand in the side bank. Thank you, sir, in the middle bank. I see your hand. Thank you, the far end of the middle bank. Thank you, in the side bank. I see your hand as well. Thank you, I see your hand. If you have slipped up your hand, you can put it back down after I've acknowledged it. Thank you, in the front, in the middle bank. I've seen your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else, last call to invite Jesus into your life to be your Lord, Savior, and friend. Amazing. I'm going to pray for us right now. And if you put up your hand, allow this to be the language of your heart right now. And all the while, the rest of us are just going to stand in agreement with you. Lord Jesus, thank you so, so much for living for me, for dying for me, and for showing me how it is that I can now live life with you and for you. Help me, Lord Jesus, to step into a life right now where you are at the center, not me. Thank you that from here on in, I can live life your way and not my way. And help me, Lord, that as I do so, I may trust your Holy Spirit power. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. In you I trust, and in you I commit my life. In your amazing name I pray. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.